Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. So if you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Hello, church. Man, it is a privilege to join you today to share the message and finish our series. And whether you're tuning in online or from our Aldergrove campus, I wanted to start by giving you a special invitation to join us. Sunday, June 25th at 3 p.m., we're heading to Albert Dick Lake Park for our summer baptism service. It's amazing that I get to share with you today about baptism, especially on the weekend that so many members of our church are making that decision today. You know that over 20 people have already signed up to be baptized on the 25th. And maybe wherever you are, give us a little round of applause. That's pretty cool. And actually, over the last 12 months, over 25 youth students in middle school and high school have been baptized already, and we're excited to add a lot to that number. Let's thank God for that. It's so incredible. As we get into it, I think it would be great for us to do a little introduction into baptism. And so I want to start by telling you this, especially those of you who are tuning in who may have yet to be baptized. Sometimes, and maybe it's even subliminally, we think that baptism is our way to Jesus. We're broken people in need of saving from our life of sin. We are sheep without a shepherd, as Matthew 9 says, wandering, lost, cursed by sin. Yet Jesus is the shepherd that we need. He saved us and he offers us eternal life. Amen. Well, what I want you to hear is this. Baptism doesn't save you. Christ does. I want to start with this because it's crucial for us to understand. He is the one who provides our salvation. So if at any point you feel like what I'm saying to you is that you need to be baptized to experience this grace and salvation, don't. He paid the highest price. He saved you. He saved me. He died so that if you faithfully accept his free gift of grace, you get to experience life everlasting. So your baptism doesn't provide eternal life and grace that's beyond our understanding. It's actually Christ who does. Ultimately, baptism is an act of obedience for those who follow Christ. And so as I talk about baptism, many of us may have different thoughts or images that come to mind. Maybe you think of baptism as an infant if you came from a Catholic background, or baptism by sprinkling of water, which is called aspersion, or the pouring of water, which is called effusion. I did some research. But most of us, especially those who call CLCC our home church, are familiar with baptism by immersion. Under the water and out. But maybe for you, you're thinking, what's the difference? Well, we as a church believe in baptism by immersion. We do the full dunk. And the best thing is to let Romans chapter 6, verse 1-5 actually tell us why. And it says this, "Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was." You see, the vast majority of biblical scholars actually agree that the New Testament baptism stories, including the baptism of Jesus, was a baptism by immersion, under the water and out. Now, you see, under the water symbolizes Christ's death and our own death to sin, and raising from the water as Christ's victory over death. If it no longer has any hold on him, just as our sin was covered by his blood and was forgiven, we are raised out of the water to a new life. It's symbolic of our death to a life of sin and separation from God, and accepting new life as a forgiven, faithful follower of Christ. Also, as a church, we love to do it publicly. The baptism service that we usually do are on the big stage. If you've come to our Abbotsford campus, you know we roll out the big tank and it's in front of the whole congregation and all of you are personally invited. We want to fill that beach at Albert Dick. We want to do it publicly because baptism is a public declaration of an internal work. Our faith is to be like a city on a hill, not a lamp under a basket, just as Matthew 5 says, which means that when we make the decision to follow Jesus, it's public, it's unashamed, and our baptism is a public declaration of that work that Christ has already done inside of us. I like to think of it this way. There's some times in life where we like to publicly declare our feelings. I remember when I first started dating my now wife, Brianna, I couldn't wait to tell people. I was on all of my social media pages. I remember telling people on the street, our servers at the restaurants, this is my girlfriend. Maybe you remember how big of a deal it was to make it Facebook official. Millennials that are tuning in, you would know. I couldn't wait to put our little relationship on the internet for the world to see. I remember checking the likes, and actually I would compare them to the likes of the other couples from Bible college. Maybe that's a separate issue though. But public declaration not only signifies that you're proud to represent something, but I actually think that public declaration changes something internally as well. It brings this new sense of ownership as we declare to those around us that this is what we believe, that the conviction is so strong that we actually have to show it outwardly to those that are we love and that we care about. And that's baptism, that we want to declare publicly who we follow. It's a public and physical representation of a work that happens internally. So, if you missed our baptism class this past Tuesday, that should about cover you there. But for many of you, you might think, man, now's your chance to tune out. Maybe you already have tuned me out. You checked this holy sacrament off the sacrament bucket list years ago. Been there, done that, Pastor Noah. Maybe now for the rest of the sermon, you'll be bumping your elbow at your friend or sending a text to a family member who's yet to be baptized, because honestly, my message about baptism can't possibly be relevant for you. Well, my goal for today is actually twofold, that those of you who are listening that have yet to be baptized, but you call yourself a follower of the living God, Jesus, that you would actually be inspired to make that decision. And guess what? Actually, there's an opportunity for you to do that. You can take action and get baptized. If you're tuning in after our baptism service that happens on the 25th, get in touch with us as one of our pastors, because we want you to make that decision. But I also hope to encourage those of you in the room who have already been baptized. Maybe you're saying to yourself, it's been 30 years since I was baptized, Pastor Noah. Why do I need to hear about it now? But I hope not only for this to be an opportunity to reflect on the decision you made already, but actually to evaluate. To evaluate, are you walking out in the same obedience that you did when you declared publicly who you follow, however many years ago? And I hope whether you're here and you've been baptized years ago, or you're wrestling with the decision now, or maybe it's not something that's really crossed your mind, I want you to hear this. We, as followers of Jesus, are called to be obedient. And baptism is obedience. When I was preparing for this message, I started to think about the time in my life when I was baptized. It was almost exactly 13 years ago. And I was a 13-year-old boy. Similar age, actually, to some of our baptism candidates later this afternoon. I thought it'd be fun for us to look at some old photos. So if you're tuning in, you'll see a picture of me here. There I am. I have aged like fine wine, wouldn't you say? I keep telling Brianna I want to grow out my hair again, but she won't let me. Obviously, she might have seen these photos. But It's funny when I look at those photos too, actually. You can see on my shirt there, there's something peeking out underneath. I was actually wearing a wetsuit underneath my clothes. I was such a chicken. And to this day, I think only my parents, and I guess now all of you that are watching, know that I kind of cheated on my baptism as I got baptized in the ocean wearing a wetsuit underneath. But you know, it's funny. I don't think we reflect on our baptism enough. As I reflected on my baptism, I remembered the young kid I was, full of faith. I remember at the time of my baptism, I was actually quietly wrestling with the beginning and the early shape of a pastoral calling on my life. God was beginning to pull on my heart and reveal gifts and passions in me. And now that I reflect on my choice to be baptized, obviously some bumps along the way, some bigger than others, but I never really wavered from that calling that was being unearthed in that 13-year-old kid. I knew I wanted to follow God. I knew I wanted to love people. And I figured that actually God might use me to do that. And I don't think we need to reflect back on our baptism because anything incredibly spiritual happened that day. But because of the posture of our hearts, we humbled ourselves. We said, God, I am yours and I will live my life available to you. Because baptism is obedience. And we are called to be obedient. Now, the reason I talk about reflecting on our baptism is not for the sake of fond memories, but actually because similarly, there are so many times in scripture when we read and remember the baptism stories of biblical people. And today I hope that as we look at our biblical baptism story, we too can glean from the faithful and obedient attitude of God's people. And so today, we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 8, and it's going to go from verse 26 to 40, but we're just going to read a smaller portion. And it's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And man, I love the Word of God. When I was told and asked to preach on baptism, I started to read my Bible with this new lens, right? You start to discern, maybe, God, what do you have for us as we take a look at your word and glean what you have about baptism? And this story of the Ethiopian eunuch's salvation and then baptism, it jumped off the pages for me. And I think it will be convicting for those of us who have yet to be baptized and those who have been baptized for years. You see, the biblical story begins with Philip, the evangelist, and he was an early church missionary. He shared the good news of Jesus, and he actually was one of the very first missionaries of the gospel of Jesus. And so Philip is instructed at the beginning of chapter 8 by God to go south on his journey where he encounters an Ethiopian eunuch. And this man, the Ethiopian man, he was of high standing. He was a treasurer of royalty. We don't know whether he was Jewish or not, but what we do know is that he didn't know Jesus. And he was sitting in his carriage reading the book of Isaiah. What a beautiful setting. And he doesn't understand it. And the passage that he's reading actually is prophesying towards the coming Messiah, Jesus, who actually had now come. So bingo, what an opening for Philip. And here's what happens next. We start at verse 35. It says, so beginning with this same scripture, which is the scripture in Isaiah, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop and they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Then they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away and the eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. A lot of cool stuff happens in this story. The Lord literally snatched Philip away. That's so cool and crazy. Sometimes when I'm in an uncomfortable conversation with a teenager, I kind of wish the Lord would snatch me away. But here's what I want us to take from this story. First point that we can learn from the Ethiopian eunuch story is that the Ethiopian man took initiative. Baptism is obedience, and obedience takes initiative. The message that Philip was able to share with the Ethiopian was so exciting, it was so incredible, it was so countercultural, so magnificent, that he couldn't help but act immediately. Isn't that amazing? that the gospel story of Jesus, who came down for us and died the worst possible death for us broken people, he died for people like the Ethiopian eunuch. He died for people like you and people like me, so that we can experience life eternal, life everlasting. Of course he wanted to take the initiative. He wanted to act. And I love this. The Ethiopian eunuch, he says this. He says, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop and they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When I first read this, I felt like it was kind of familiar. The eunuch sounds kind of like a high schooler that we've been talking to about baptisms. Like, why not get baptized? Let's do it. But as I read through commentaries, that's actually how we should interpret the eunuch's response. The eunuch saw water and he said, why not? Why not get baptized right now? He took initiative. He was obedient to God and he took initiative. Practice Makes Perfect, the name of our series. It takes initiative. We need to choose daily to be obedient. If we look earlier in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, it's when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and the people experienced the Holy Spirit in a new way. A massive crowd of people. And then Peter preaches to that crowd. And the crowd heard a similarly inspiring message that the eunuch heard on the roadside. And you know what Acts 2:41 says? It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. 3,000 people who heard that thrilling news about their Savior. They said, why wait? Let's get baptized now. They took initiative. They were obedient. Maybe it's time we take a little more initiative. The second thing I want us to learn from this story is that the Ethiopian eunuch, he went away rejoicing. I think this one's for all of us. The Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. After he was baptized and Philip disappeared, the eunuch left rejoicing. And you know what I think of when I think about going away rejoicing? I think of these pro sports champions. Maybe you saw Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. Boo. But the parade that they threw for those people who went away rejoicing, you should have seen it. They closed streets down. People were celebrating, and all they did was win a trophy. I mean, it is the greatest trophy in sports, but think about the rejoicing of someone who gets to experience eternal life. Think about the rejoicing when you find out someone died for you to experience that eternal life. I think it's believed that the Ethiopian eunuch, after his baptism, this is so incredible. The eunuch, after his baptism, was the first missionary of Jesus ever in Ethiopia. And the word used actually in Acts that Luke uses, it's a unique one. He said, and I'm not much of a language guy, but the word he uses is a present participle. Yeah, my Greek professor would be very proud of me for that. But really what it means when I say that is that the word for going away rejoicing, the word for joy there, is that he was actually expressing it continuously. Luke, the author of Acts, wants us to know that the Ethiopian man was changed and changed forever. He went away rejoicing and then he never stopped. He declared his love for Jesus. He accepted the free gift he offered. And then he was baptized and went away rejoicing. Those of you that have been baptized, my question for you is this. Are you still going away rejoicing? Are you eager to share this love you found with the people around you? Are you filled with the same vigor and joy and enthusiasm about what God did for you? Do you tell your friends, neighbors, family members about the joy that you have, the same joy that motivated you to be baptized in the first place? I'll tell you, I want to be like the Ethiopian man. I want to go from each place with joy. After my baptism, joy. In the morning, joy. In the evening, joy. I want to walk through each day with the same enthusiasm I had as a 13-year-old boy. And actually, I want to be even more obedient today than I was that day. Because you know what's just as important as baptism? After baptism. After. Obedience doesn't end with baptism. We're baptized because we want to be obedient, but obedience is a daily choice. We will never be perfect with our actions, but we can make an effort to go away rejoicing daily. Make choices every day. to be shaped more and more into the image of Jesus, to tell others of the joy that you found, and to be obedient. I think this is a great way to wrap up. One of our students preached at youth this past week. We do something in the month of June called Student Preach Month, and we had four amazing students preach just such great messages. And timely enough, this past week, Rosalind, one of our student preachers, decided to preach on baptism. Insert proud youth pastor moment. She said to our students, after referencing Acts 2:41, when 3,000 people were baptized, she said to our students, "What's stopping you from getting baptized? Just like the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, if you believe what you hear, what's stopping you?" And frankly, it was inspiring and convicting for our students. Why wait? You believe what you heard. Take the initiative. And for some of you in the room, you might need to hear that. Why wait? Like in Acts, when you believe what you hear, take action and be obedient. But what she said after, I think, may have been even more convicting. She said, "If you've already been baptized, what's stopping you from baptizing others?" She referenced the Great Commission. "Go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." She implored our students, "You're not done yet. Checking baptism off the list isn't enough. Are you not also called to make disciples?" I want us to hear this, church. Don't we know the Great Commission? Are we not all called to do it, baptizing others in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Let's take initiative. Let's be obedient. Let's go away rejoicing. Now, I'm going to pray, but if you're tuning in and you think that you're ready to make that decision to be baptized, if you're watching this before 3 p.m. on June 25th, we would love to have you do that. You can go on our website and you can click the baptism button, or you can just get in touch with one of our pastors directly. But if it's after that, please send us an email, because we would love to provide an opportunity for you to be baptized and make that decision. I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you for the incredible gift that you offer so freely, that we can be saved and we can experience an eternity of glory at your side. God, we are so thankful for your grace and for your love for us. And God, I wish for each of us that is watching right now to give thanks for that gift that you give us more often and have a heart full of joy about it daily. Would we be people who are more obedient, shaped more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus, every single day? And God, for those who are tuning in that have yet to be baptized, God, would you just pull on their hearts? Would you reveal to them that they don't have to be perfect to make that decision? All they have to do is submit themselves to be a vessel of your kingdom. And for those who are tuning in, Lord Jesus, that have made that decision, would you inspire them to be more and more obedient every single day? We love you, Lord. Amen. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Be blessed. Bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you are looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30. Our Abbotsford campus has three services each Sunday, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at cscc.ca/give. See you later.